I want to call this meeting to order. Let me start out by saying thank you for coming. It is the first of our voting meetings. I believe we have contacted people, department heads that have been asked, at least informed, that we may be getting to their item as we roll through the pages. I want to have a 7 o'clock end time on this. That's 2.5 hours or, you know, 1.5? I don't know. Whatever. 1.5. And I think that would be sufficient for the first meeting. If it looks like we're almost to the end, I'll go another 15 or 20 if we're on something. Minutes, that is. So no later than 7:30, but really if we can make it work, we'll stop at 7. Anyone have any questions? Let me just say a couple of things that have to do with the order of things to happen here. We have to have 8 people in the room to start a meeting. I need a quorum of the legislature. We have that number. I need a quorum of the ledge to start a meeting, and then we need a majority of the people in the room to move an amendment on. Absent 8 people, we'll sit here until 8 people show up, and that's the way it plays out.
If you lose the quorum during the course of a meeting, what happens?
There are no votes that can be taken.
So you need to maintain the quorum.
Yeah, I need to maintain at least 8. Martha?
But this isn't a legislature meeting. This is an expanded budget committee meeting.
I need 8 people to start the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Peter?
How many people do you need to pass something?
A majority of the people in the room.
Thank you.
Leslie?
Mr. Chair, I'm putting in first dibs that I need to leave early, so no one else is allowed to.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Martha?
I'm sorry, so much housekeeping, but Kent, is there a problem with the Internet that based on this, the problems we had this morning, electricity and whatever today?
Not that I'm aware of. You should be all right.
Okay.
Anyone else? Anything else? Let's take a, everyone has their two-page sheet in front of them, front and back, and front on page 2. Right at the top is OTR, what are we calling it, 0? It's the new, it's the fringe benefits. It's got my name and Carol Chalk. If somebody, Carol, wants to move that, we can. That is the $582,000 that we've realized because of our fringe benefit plus for us at this pension cost, a reduction of pension. Without this, this puts everything in play. If this is not passed, then, you know, we can go home at the end of it. But go ahead, Carol.
I'll move it. And if there's a second, I'll speak to it.
Leslin, all in favor of putting this, is that, we put it on the floor?
Yeah, moved and seconded. Now you can discuss it.
Yeah, okay. Now the discussion. Martha.
I don't know. This is a real hard one. I'm not sure how I'm going to vote.
Anyone else? Carol? Peter? Carol?
So there wasn't a chance to make observations on the total package before this, but I just do want to point out before this meeting, this is an obvious thing that we need to do. It's just an adjustment to the numbers, to the estimates.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. But I want to take this opportunity to point out that I did some work with Kevin today in the actual Excel spreadsheet that he's using and calculated what the total would be of all of the items that have been proposed so far by legislators be added to the agenda, taking out the duplicates, and not including any deductions. So I didn't include any deductions that people were proposing to make. And that brought us to a total impact on the levy of still under $500,000. And on one time of $84,000. Dan did an estimate of his own and got slightly higher figures, so we'd have to figure out what the difference is. But I just want to point out that this sort of the impact that this has or could potentially have on our thinking as we go through item by item. We could pass the whole package of anything anybody's proposed and still be under Joe's original target amount and go home like Jim wants us to.
Thanks for that. And Peter and then Mike.
Well, I hate to so openly display my ignorance, but I don't really understand that first item, what that means, that transfer of money from.
It's the money saved by the pension costs that we have to pay. It's essentially $590,000 more that we have to deal with than when Joe's budget was presented to us. We're plus $590,000.
But by voting for this, we don't put any money from one place and put it into another, do we?
Well, we put it in play, Peter. I mean, it's like starting a game. Yeah. And if you vote it down, my sense would be that it would, I don't know, Joe, place. What would it do? Reduce the budget by?
No, if you don't approve it, that extra $582,000 stays in the budget. And it doesn't have any expenses against it, so it's basically building a surplus into the.
All right, thank you.
Everyone, Mike? I'm sorry.
Just want to point out that if we pass this, and we ought to, and did none of the other amendments here, that our tax levy would only go up 0.04%.
Right. Anyone else? Really, we're going to talk.
I just want to.
What?
So the screen we're looking at, this is right now, it's Joe's proposed budget, right?
Yes, yes.
So if we pass this and Kevin moves his fingers and the numbers change, right?
It should. If not,
okay.
Then we go home. And anyone else? All in favor of this amendment, please, we want. Raise your hand, please. Opposed, if any. It's 12-0. Let's move on to the health department. Mike Ziegler, Will Burbank, Julie Kiefer, OTR 29, the new community health nurse early intervention program. It's 94K. And impact. It's in target, and the impact on the levy would be $94,000. Someone want to move that? Mike moves. Is there a second? Will second. Discussion. Dan?
Mr. Chair, my wife works at the health department in this very program. I've talked with the county attorney. He suggests that I recuse myself from this.
Okay. Will do. Anyone else? Will, Mike?
Well, it's a big hit. $94,000.
Right.
If we spend it here, we basically have not been trying to add to the payroll here as much as we could hold back. There's a couple of positions we've had to do this. My question becomes, what happens if we don't do this?
Joe.
And Frank is here, too, to speak to this, if you'd like. We carry on. There are certainly caseload pressures in this operation. It's my understanding, though, that one of the issues that the department is dealing with is not so much the number of budgeted positions. It's a vacancy rate within that group of people. So they've been dealing with basically shortfalls in the roster that has contributed to that caseload burden. So the hope is that if we can do better in that vacancy factor, if we can get up to full roster, we won't need to add additional positions. They should be able to do it within their existing budgeted staff.
Peter and then Martha.
Can I? So very quickly, is it true that if we vote yes for this, we restore the number of hours that are being worked in this particular business to something that was before?
No.
No? Isn't that?
No, this would be a...
It's a new position.
This is a net new position.
Right. But what was it you said, that there had been some sort of a retain...
Right. So they have lost employees. Employees have left the roster.
Right.
There's an attrition factor there that has affected their ability to carry their cases. So,
right. So you're just now returning it to the number of people working on this thing that there was before, right?
No.
No, okay.
So. No, Peter, what you there's vacancies in the department, so they already have a number of positions. If they fill those positions, then I believe they can efficiently do the job they need to do.
That's it.
Okay.
And this would be above what they already have. Who else had their hand up? Go ahead.
I understand this is the third priority out of three OTRs for the department. So the first one moves one position from 35 hours to 40. But is that a different department? That's not the same.
I think so.
So that wouldn't relate?
I think it's in a different division. I'll check.
Division, okay. I understand this is, it's a staff under pressure, but I'm afraid at this time I really can't support it. We can't do everything. I guess, potentially if another miracle happens, like the pension reductions, then I might look at it again, but right now I can't vote for it.
Well, and then Dooley.
I'm just wondering maybe if we could invite Frank up to remind us sort of why this is important. A little bit.
Got to turn it on.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Joe's assessment is part of the situation. I think over time we have struggled to maintain full staffing within the department, and that has added pressure. The reason for the OTR at this point is we have taken multiple steps over the years to try to increase capacity to keep up with caseloads. It began with reallocating the way we did the program internally. We then added hours over the past few years, moving the nurses from 35 to 37 and a half hours. Did we move them to 40? And then ultimately moving them to 40, building capacity within the staffing that we have. What we've done now to deal with the caseloads is our senior community health nurse, which is essentially a leadership position within the program, has taken on a caseload in order to reduce the burden spread across the nursing staff within the department, which then takes her away from being able to do things that normally that position does, most specifically attending the meetings within the pre-K program to ensure that we are effectively providing services in a cost-effective manner to those children. That's not to say that they're not getting effective service otherwise, but our voice is not at the table. So we've exhausted what we believe are all of our internal options at this point, and so that is what is driving the request for the additional CHM.
Thank you, Frank.
Dooley.
Yes, well, I heard Mike say a moment ago that we're trying not to add staff, but I don't view that as a good thing in and of itself. I think we need to respond when we are told by department leaders that there is a significant need for something, and this increased caseload and the inability to run the programs the way it sounds they should be run seems a very good argument to me to consider adding this position, which is why I said I would support it, and I still feel that way. The language in the budget book was clear. Frank's language is clear. Caseloads are up. And we need this position.
Anyone else? Mike and Peter.
I'll just be quick, just because I have a lot of personal experience with this group. I don't really know of a lot of kids who don't have some type of service going on right now. I mean, the caseloads really have gotten that much greater. I mean, I don't know why that is. I don't think really anybody really knows why that is. But certainly we are diagnosing more kids with more issues. And I'll just say that the window that you get is not big. I mean, my daughter was diagnosed with autism at age 2. And we were lucky she got services really quickly because there was on the scale. But if she had had to wait, you know, it's just lost time. And now what you have is a kid who, grade level, reading above, you know, other kids. I mean, you're going to have an adult who is now going to go on to pay taxes and have a regular job and really will not have any issues going forward. I mean, if everything keeps going according to what the school's plan is. So, I mean, that's why I'm, you know, this is the only thing I've actually recommended we approve, is because of all the programs that we do, this is the one that I've seen, like, firsthand that really has the biggest bang for its buck. I mean, the people that do this kind of work just don't make a lot of money. I mean, comparatively to other jobs. So, yeah, I mean, if we have money that came in, I think this is the position to add. Out of everything that we're discussing tonight and tomorrow and the next day, this is where I would bank our money on. So that's why I put it forward.
Peter Stein and then Martha.
Let me try to – I mean, I really want to vote for this. I hope I hear the answer I want. But I'm assuming that there are children who in some way or another are not being given – the best aid that they could be, and that this will make that possible to serve those children. Is that, can anyone say yes to that? I'd like.
So that's a very difficult question to answer. All children that come to us go through an evaluation process and are assigned services if it's appropriate based on their evaluation. We have a shortage of providers in our community, physical therapy, occupational therapy, that has made it more difficult for us to get those services to the children. So there is that component of it, which is something we're dealing with at a state level. This particular issue is really related to being able to provide the services with our, provide the care coordination, case coordination services that our nurses provide, for them to be able to do it in a manner where their caseloads are not at a level that make it extremely stressful and difficult for it to get accomplished. So I would never want to say that a child's going without services, because we work to make sure that they get what they need, but there are trade-offs. And so there are other places where we would like to have a presence and really should have a presence that we're unable to do, because our first priority is making sure that the children's cases are handled in a timely and effective fashion.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess because I found this point important when I was looking at these OTRs, which is in my notes it says we haven't been at full staff for some time. So I don't know that the problem is how many budgeted positions we have on the roster. It's our ability to keep those roster positions filled. So I guess that's what I would look to Frank to help answer. I mean, has the vacancy factor been at kind of the core, the heart of the issue that you've been dealing with in EI?
We have had troubles maintaining the positions. They're maintaining the filled positions in the program. There's no doubt there. And there is a long training curve from anywhere from 6 months to a year to get a nurse fully up and operational on their own. And so we have faced that challenge. We are currently full staffed, and based off of the caseload projections, we do still have the concern about being able to get them to the level that we want them to be at. So certainly not to be contradictory to what Joe is saying, but There is, we wouldn't have put the OTR out there if we didn't think that there was ultimately going to be a need for additional staffing.
Martha, and no, then Carol.
I'll pass.
Oh, Carol?
So I'm having trouble understanding the Joe's answer from before, and this hasn't clarified it for me. Are either of you saying that, was there a point in time, however many years back, where we had a greater number of people devoted to this function?
No.
That ever got reduced?
No.
And do we have a greater caseload numbers now than we used to have?
Yes.
Okay, and is the reason that that we're having trouble retaining people because of the pressures of the higher caseload?
I think that's certainly a component of it. Not the only issue, but certainly a component.
So the question has been raised, I think, then, if we create this position, are we going to be able to fill it if there aren't enough people in town who do it?
So there's a difference between where this position is a community health nurse position, which requires a registered nurse that has 2 years of experience. There are those people out there. The work that they do is not your typical nursing services. They're not providing shots. They're not in a doctor's office. They're doing evaluation and case management for these children with developmental delays and disabilities. And so it is a different kind of nurse that we use to fill those positions. We are able to find nurses to get into the positions, but we've had a lot of, so we have some very seasoned, experienced nurses within the program, but we've had two or three that have kind of recycled. So as the new people have come in, they've found that it wasn't a match for them, whether it was the caseloads, whether it was they're not doing nursing, traditional nursing services, or it just wasn't a fit for them and their schedule. So there's a lot of reasons for turnover, and we have had a lot of turnover in that program with those positions. But we do have some stable nurses that have been there for a very long time, because this is what they found that they are comfortable and interested in doing.
Okay, well, I'm still having trouble understanding Joe's note to himself about this would somehow bring us to, or that what you said about it would bring us to a full complement, bring us back to a full complement of people. The same question that Peter asked, but I'm still not understanding.
Yeah, let me try it again. My sense is that we don't have a problem with the number of budgeted positions. We have a problem in keeping those positions filled.
Okay. I think we're ready to vote. More questions, Dooley?
Well, I didn't have the benefit of discussing this with the commissioner, but I read what was written in our budget book, and it says very straightforwardly and simply, burnout level is high due to the increased client acuity levels and large caseloads. That, to me, would explain why you have trouble keeping the positions filled, which I think is what you just said. You have this trouble keeping the positions filled.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote on this. All in favor of OTR 29, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and?
Extension.
And you're out, right? So that does not pass.
Yes, it does.
Oh, I'm sorry, it does.
7 ayes, 4 noes.
Yes. 7 ayes, 4 noes. Next one, Stream Corridor, Carol Chalk, Dooley Kiefer, Restoration 25K, Target, and you know, there you go.
So does one of us have to move it?
Or? Yeah. Dave?
Jim, I got a question on the previous OTR. Was that passed or failed?
No, it passed. Okay. 7-4.
Thank you.
Sorry, my mistake. I haven't done this enough.
A year.
Next one. Someone want to move it? No one does? We'll go on to the next one. Dooley moves planning 25. Is there a second? Carol. Okay. It's on the floor for discussion. Martha.
I would like to amend that motion to leave the dollar amount the same but make it multi-year. In other words, three years of one-time funding. And the result is that it does not add to the tax levy, but $25,000 a year comes off out of the fund balance.
Is there a second to that? Mike seconds. Discussion about that, Martha.
And the reason being that I think this is a very valuable program, this would allow it to proceed with a little bit more stability than one-time funding, than target fund. More stability than it has right now, because right now it's just year to year. But yet it kind of lets us go sort of 3 years and 3 years from now look at it and decide if we can afford to make that target or if we want to go another year or two or three at a time. So it's a way of supporting the program without, you know, unfortunately not sure we have the bandwidth to bring it in as a target.
Carol.
So the reason that I was proposing it as target is because I think it's pretty clear that we're in a it would probably take us weather-wise about 80 years to dig out of the increased storm damage and need for stream corridor restoration, let alone catch up with the need that existed before all these horrible storms started. We've had it year after year for a long time now, and so it just seems to be time to make it target, particularly in a year in which we could, as I pointed out before, do just about everything on here and still only raise by the whole levy by 1%.
Anyone else? Dooley?
Well, this was the commissioner's number one OTR. Every year we need it. Every year we've been voting on it. And, Martha, I would much rather support your changed motion if this original motion had been voted down, because I think I would feel much better just recognizing that we're going to need this every year into the future, as far as I can see. So I'm sorry that you made your motion so quick.
Well, so we have a motion. It's a three-year one-time, 25K a year. I think we're ready to vote on it. All in favor of Martha's motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And opposed? So that would be what?
Seven.
Seven.
Okay.
Seven. Against it. And Dooley.
Before you announce the vote, you'll ask if anyone wants to change this vote.
Oh, well, I'm not going to do that.
Well, you should.
Okay, does anyone want to change their vote? Let's do it again. All in favor of Martha's resolution, please raise your hand.
It's an amendment.
Amendment, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed to Martha's amendment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So it fails.
So we go overtime? Is that it?
No, that fails.
The amendment fails.
Of course it fails. That fails.
So now we're back to the main?
We are back to the main, and that's 25K target 1 year.
1 year?
No, no. Target.
Target. Yes. Well, it's 1 year until next year, right? You know, I mean, come on. Any more discussion on that?
Well, just to be clear, a yes vote puts this into the target budget, right?
Right, right.
And takes it at, right now it's approved as one time.
All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 10. Are you yes, Mike? 10 opposed? Just me. And Leslin. Anyone want to change their vote? It is 10 to 2. It's been approved. Martha Robertson.
No.
No, that went down. Carol Chalk, energy program activities.
So there was a...
You want to move it?
I don't know if... Well, I want to correct it. My intention, and I don't know if I just failed to convey this to Kevin correctly or if he didn't put it in, but probably the former. My intention was to introduce energy program activities to start target money at $10,000 and keep $20,000 of it as one time, because I think that we need to start building in energy program activities.
I mean, that's a material change to what we have here on the paper, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's certainly the target, the $10,000 as target, was what it should have read. It's not, far be it from me to reduce, in my history, to reduce energy program activities.
Anyone, Kevin? I mean, that's what we have, right?
Yeah, I tried to faithfully translate.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah. Well, she can move whatever she wants to move.
So I want to move it as target, was my intent, and I'll keep it at the $10,000 amount, and since other people are talking about one-time money on the next one,
can we just unilaterally change it now, or do we have to vote down one and start again, put this one on, and then move to amend it? Or
this is just a list of topics, and people get to move whatever they want to move.
So what I had in here was, let's see. First of all, the amount that I had mentioned was $20,000.
Stop. Carol, move it.
Okay. So I would like to move $10,000 of target money for energy program activity.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
What happens to the rest?
The rest of it would be dealt with in the next motion.
Is there a second to that?
Okay.
Martha, seconds. Discussion. Julie?
Would you explain what your next motion is going to do, please?
Well, mine, I don't have... the next motion addresses the same issue. So Julie and Martha had entered... make OTR for Energy Program Matching Fund a multi-year OTR. So it'd be $30,000 that, you know, you and Martha were proposing at $30,000 a year. I think that we need to start doing some of this as target. So my $10,000 as target, people could then decide, do we want to, are they increasing the amount over what Ed had asked for initially to do the additional $30,000 as one-time or three-time money?
What we have is a resolution, 10K into target, and that's how I'm reading it. Am I correct? Do you all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Then we'll vote on that and see what happens after that. All in favor of Carol's 10K OTR target for energy program activities, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. And opposed, all the rest. That would be 9. Is there anyone who wants to change their vote? Okay. Martha?
And I'd like to make the next motion, which is on the list here, to do the 3-year, multi-year, you know, one-time money again. Same justification as I said for Stream Carter.
Is there a second to that? Dooley seconds. Discussion. Any discussion? Dooley, Carol, go ahead.
Well, it's pretty clear that next year there will be an energy roadmap to move forward so that we'll need plenty of money for that. And so I think this fits in well with what Carol has done.
Carol.
Yeah, the only reason that I hadn't put in a higher amount was I just wasn't sure of the level of support. But it's
also clear that we not only have an energy roadmap, we have a planning department that is also doing an awful lot of energy activities, and we've added to their workload coordination with TCAD on energy-related activities there. And coming out of each of those committees are going to come recommendations. And so it certainly makes sense, having put all this effort into thinking about what we need to do for our energy future, regardless of what the results are, whether we're talking about taking down solar panels and transferring them all to natural gas, as some would have it, and or the opposite, as others would have it. There's going to be activities coming out of that, and it's sort of silly to have engaged in this entire process and then not allocate some money to implement the results.
Martha.
To be clear, Joe did fund it at one time. So there's no difference in the amount. There's no difference in where 2016's allocation comes from. This just makes a commitment to fund it for 2017 and 2018, also at one time in those years.
And it will be amendable if they need more in one of those subsequent years.
Sure.
Mike.
I'm still good with it being one time. It seems to me that we may have things coming down the pike. This gives us some money for next year, and then we can reassess when the energy roadmap is rolled out what we need next year.
Anyone else? Comments? All in favor of the resolution and the way it's stated, multi-year, 30K, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Somebody didn't vote. Opposed again. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. It does not pass. Julie Kiefer. No, I'm sorry. Martha Robertson, OTR Capital Reserve for Natural Scenic Rec Resource Protection, multi-year.
You skipped mine.
I think Carol's next on the list.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. Capital Reserve for Natural Resources, 25,000. I moved the capital program. Carol, you want to move it? I'll be interested in hearing this.
Again, so my intent on this one. Was to take it's the total impact on the budget would still be as it was before at $50,000, but $25,000 of that instead of being one time money would move to our capital program.
Do me a favor and move it and second, and then we'll talk about it.
I will move.
Is there a second? It dies for a lack of a second. Now, Martha, OTR, Capital Reserve, Natural Science, Scenic Rec Resource Protection, multi-year, OTR 3 years.
Maybe this third time will be a charm. I'll move a 3-year one-time funding. And I think that this really is one of those where those land acquisitions where these funds go to, there's really a long lead time, whether it's Finger Lakes Land Trust or other things that, you know, and if the planning department knows that they're going to have this level of funding, you know, a couple of years out, they can make the right kind of choices. And I think this is really absolutely worth doing.
And you're moving that. Is there a second? And Will seconds. Discussion? Carol?
Yeah, so just reading from the summary of what Ed was requesting was to create an ongoing capital reserve fund for natural, scenic, and recreational resource protection. And it's pretty hard to create an ongoing
fund, if you're only given 1 year at a time. I've actually heard from constituents about this one, several constituents.
Jeff, did you fund this?
I did. I funded this with one-time money.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't add to the levy. It just gives a little more predictability for the planning department.
Yours was just
anyone else?
Target.
Mike.
Don't we spend money on this now? And if we do, where does that money come from?
One time. Could Ed address that?
Used to be his rollover, and there's no more rollover.
Can we ask Ed to address it?
I'm sorry?
I agree with Martha. It would be good to have Ed address the question. Ed?
Ed?
Well, the answer was basically correct. We funded this in the past with rollover. With the budget tightening that's gone on over the years, there's very little rollover left, and so the fund has dwindled. And in the meantime, we've identified that this is really a need. If we're going to make any tangible progress on our open space goals that are in our comprehensive plan and our strategy, we need to have some sort of ongoing funding source to make sure that we can plan ahead and make decisions. And like Martha said, these projects often take 2 or 3 years to develop. And if you don't have any idea that you'll have money in year two or year three, you kind of can't get in the game and when it would make a difference. The other thing I just would remind everyone, every one of these expenditures requires legislature approval because it's in a capital reserve. You have to approve every single expenditure. So the money that goes in there can't just be allocated without a legislature approval.
Anyone else? Julie.
So I'm going to move to amend this to make it target. And I'm doing that because easements to protect farmland, stream corridor work, flooding, the things that tie into that earlier thing we voted on. But there are so many other opportunities that we have to advance the county's comprehensive plan under this. And it's going to be necessary, again, into the foreseeable future for all of these things. So I would make it target, and I hope someone will second it.
Carol.
I'm seconding.
Okay. Discussion about the change, or?
It allows for Martha's to be the fallback. So.
Yeah, I'll just say, Ed requested this be moved into target because we've been doing it for a while just scrounging up money out of rollover and other places. And it's a proven program, and it's time to move it into target.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of Dooley's resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? The rest, 3, 9, it fails. We're back to Martha. Oh, I'm sorry. Did anyone want to change their vote? Back to you, Martha.
What? So mine's on the table. So
right.
3 years?
3 years, one time, multi-year?
Right.
50? Okay, right? All right, all in favor of the original resolution, please raise your hand. Opposed, if any? One opposed. That passes. Anyone want to change their vote? It passes 11 to 1. Let me see. Dooley's we just did, right? Carol Chalk, Reinstate Advisory Board support.
You know what? I'll just defer to the next one. I'll pass. It's the same item, just worded differently.
Okay. It's Will, Dooley, Carol.
Well, you're right, it's okay.
Okay. Someone move it? Will moves. Second. Discussion. Carol?
That was a second.
So yes, it is. Yeah. So, and then Dooley, please help me. I mean, what we heard was that basically we have the Environmental Management Council, which is our advisory board, and they do wonderful, wonderful work. One of their projects is updating the unique national areas survey. And mostly this is done by volunteer work, but they do need occasionally the help of somebody who has technical expertise. It's a very tiny amount of money. It is one time. It is money well spent in terms of protecting the most special parts of our county. Julie, can you add anything to that? Or?
I gave my succinct summary that Kevin typed in.
Yeah.
Our EMC was the first to have this unique natural inventory in the state, and it's still the best one. And it's a pity not to keep it up to date. And that's all this is for, is consultants to help them keep it current.
Dan.
Will, you said the poetry really well. That's why this is an important one to fund, as far as I'm concerned. Specifically, what they're doing in the update is they're looking at the boundaries because they're using maps that were aerial surveys that were something like 20 years old, and that technology has obviously gotten a lot better. So you can actually much more precisely see now where a boundary should be. In the past, it was just drawn on a map. There's also been changes over that amount of time in terms of vegetation cover, in terms of whether it's agriculture or not, whether it's changed from one way or the other, whether there's residential there that wasn't there before. And also there's been updates in terms of unique plants and other features that weren't recorded before. So this is just housekeeping, that every so many years you need to make sure that the boundaries you have listed are accurate. And what they found in the first batch that they've done already is that they were not accurate on a lot of cases, and they've changed quite a bit. It's important to be accurate in this kind of thing because we don't want land included that is not part of what should be included in a unique natural area, and vice versa. We don't want to, and vice versa. Thank you.
I think we're ready to vote on this. Carol?
Can I ask Ed if in fact this is something that, like, how often this needs to be done, whether this is something that actually comes up every year, that certain parcels are updated, or whether it indeed can be handled as a one-time as opposed to a target?
I think this is appropriate for one time. The UNA, when it was first created, I believe, called for updating it every 10 years, and it's really gone beyond that time for this update. But at some point, all of the UNAs will have been updated, and it won't be a need to do it every single year. So there may take a few more years to complete that full update, but I don't think it's necessarily an ongoing every year activity.
Thank you.
Leslie.
Mr. Chair, I just need clarification that it is Will's amendment that's on the table, the one time,
yes,
not the target. Thank
yes.
you.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 opposed. 1, 2. Magnus one.
Two noes, 10 eyes must be.
Okay, 10 eyes, 2 no. Anyone want to change their vote? Throw this into a complete tizzy over $4,600.
Wait till we get to 800.
Okay, that passes. Rural Library, Dennis Chalk Burbank, funding to allow increase in library staff compensation. It's 14,311 OTR. 53. Someone want to move it? Will moves. Is there a second? Martha seconds. Discussion? Mike.
I'd like to see us support this. It makes an effort toward the living wage for the rural libraries.
Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12. Okay, and opposed? That's a shutout. That passed. Anyone want to change their vote? That passes 12-0. Add one librarian, Carol Chalk Burbank, Kiefer, TC Public Library, 88,000. And it's in Target. Someone want to move that? Carol moves. Julie seconds. Discussion. Michael.
We love libraries and we love TCPL, but we're putting $150,000 in there to try to almost close the structural deficit this year. I'm afraid if we add more positions, all that's going to do is make the structural deficit increase in the future. I don't think this is the right year to do this.
Any other discussion? Martha and Carol.
I would agree, but it was with what Mike said, and including that I really wish we could fund this. But I also want to just make a little comparison with the data, the information that Kevin sent us about the rural libraries, where they showed sort of where the funding comes from for them. And I'm not sure if all, but most of them include sort of the school district tax levy as a source of funding, and in some cases, most of the funding, maybe all, in some of them, all the, I mean, a lot of the funding. So I think we have struggled to get the city and the town of Ithaca to take part, and I would love to encourage the library to consider going back to the school district as a source there. I think it's appropriate and relevant, and I would like to encourage that to happen. But I think we've got the county tax levy already carries plenty here. So,
Will.
Well, sure. But this library is one of our most precious resources. It serves the city, it serves the town, serves the larger community. Did I see Susan back there? I wonder if you would maybe be willing to come up to the microphone and once again reinforce what you told us all in terms of why this particular position is so important.
Can you hear me now? Oh, I can hear me too. Well, we're the central library for the Finger Lakes library system. That is a population of 314,000 in five counties. And as the central library, we are also there to serve 33 libraries in five counties, including our rural libraries. And I'm delighted that the previous amendment passed. That's a wonderful thing for our rural libraries. They're very important. At Tompkins County Public Library, the entire community comes through our doors, so we see every issue and every need. So a lot of the issues that you talk about here, in all aspects, we see them every day. So we also see the need for literacy and education, and particularly in the area of technology training. We have lost a good many staff over the years of the recession. I think I shared with you a staff roster in response to my pre-budget presentation. This position would specifically be for technology training. We have an opportunity to have a lab. Our library does not have one. We are behind other libraries similarly sized in that. And we know that the world of technology has changed all of our worlds every day. It certainly has changed the community needs. And cannot get a job without technology training. We are at a point where we're not able to meet the need for technology training because we have to do it one-on-one at the reference desk. We have an opportunity through private fundraising for the equipment for a lab. And a staff person at this level would allow us to create a pretty spectacular program for the county, working with many organizations. But I also think that, you know, this library has done an incredible job of being creative with staffing and getting through the years of losing staff pretty unbelievably. I appreciate that it's a hard decision, but I'm hoping that you will fund this position. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Peter Stein, and then Carol.
It's always difficult to say no to a library, but Martha did make, I think, a valid point, or perhaps a valid point, saying that if we vote for this, then what we're going to do is increase the structural deficit, and that means we'll be in trouble a year from now or 2 years from now or something. Could you comment on that?
Well, I think that what's happened is what you see, I've been, this month makes my 6th year at the library. It's been a great 6 years. What I've seen for the history of the funding of the library is that it reaches to a certain point. There's difficulty in the economy, and it starts to decline, and then there's this slow buildup. That's what happened in 2003. There were layoffs. That led to a 2006 failed referendum. I did look at the numbers of the users, and the city of Ithaca makes up 40% of the users, the library population. So city of Ithaca is certainly a heavy user of the library. So what I see is even without the position, we will at a certain point start to go down that path no matter what, even though the 150 has been added. Very grateful for that. Grateful for all that you do. But I think that the pattern of the library reaching a point where it's stable and then it'll start to see that same kind of recession of funds that we saw during this latest recession. That's going to start a cycle all over again.
Anyone else? Martha? Dooley? Carol? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carol. Wait.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was next. Thank
yeah,
you.
Go ahead.
First, let me just say that I think I just must have gotten my list to Kevin first, since I'm sitting around with a bum ankle. I'm not on every resolution, just on the ones that have come forward so far. I just want to point out that we are literally in an age that has been dubbed the age of information, the information age. And I mean, that's what people need to have. And while that's a renewed interest of society that has created, has just increased the call on the library to deliver services exponentially, it also, libraries is also one of the first things that communities banded together going way back in our country's history to do collectively. Roads and Bridges was, I think, the first. It couldn't be done by themselves, and libraries were among the other early things. So it really spans a great deal of time, and it's just very little that's as important as to make sure, especially in an age, especially until we get to the point that that all of our residents have access to the best quality broadband on their own, and people, services online that don't cost anything to help them vet the information, we're going to need librarians to help us with that. So I hope that people will consider supporting this. It does not prevent us, the library, going to the school for assistance.
I'm going to go to Susan Shatterhand. Go ahead, Susan.
I wanted to also add that you know, the library, this is not just adding a librarian and our past beliefs of what librarians do, but in the digital age, the library adds to the economy. I mean, we have people who come to the library to use the free wireless and use the resources for startups. Having a lab would allow us to do much more with the business community. That would help us grow the economy. On the other end, we have teenagers who believe they know everything about the Internet and believe that they understand how to find, access, and evaluate information. Having a lab would help us really teach them how to access and evaluate information. And then we recently hosted the County Office of the Aging kickoff for the age-friendly Ithaca. There were three domains on their self-assessment where the library falls squarely, already performing that, but would be able to have some enhanced programs for them. And one is information and technology access. And one of the things that we see increasingly is people asking for help with e-government resources, because I think I say this every year, you don't get tax forms at home, so they come to the library and ask for help online. Help navigating all of the healthcare information, help navigating financial. We have people who ask us to help them set up their online bank accounts. We have people who are learning English as a second language who come to us for practice. We have people who come to us for interviews that they want to do by Skype. And all of these things would be, we would be able to offer the community and help the community, and I believe it helps the economy overall.
Dooley, and then Martha.
So if you look in your budget book, you will see that the library has gone from 49 FTEs to now just over 41. That is a huge decrease in staffing. Cannibalizing jobs, sharing jobs, you have done wonders, Susan, to make it work. But it seems really short-sighted for us not to recognize that we need to backfill positions that are that you need that have once were there and are no longer there. I don't see it related to the school district's budget source of money per se. Different libraries overlap different school districts and the service areas they have. It's not a simple one-to-one relationship, and some of our rural libraries are tied into their local school districts. So I don't know whether that's going to save us all from future increases, but we really, really need this position in the library. And if it makes the structural deficit worse in future years, that's the price of providing a very basic service to the community, and we should support that.
Martha?
Susan, you said the city of Ithaca has about 40% of users.
Mm-hmm. According to our, that's 40% of the people who check out materials.
And
we have no way of assessing the total percentage of people who walk through the door. But
okay.
We have
and about how many from the town of Ithaca?
I'd have to look it up, but it's probably another 15%.
And
probably 20%.
And the city and the town put in how much?
Well, the city puts in about $14,000 via sales tax. That just comes automatically. The town had been giving us $20,000 a year. This year they gave us $15,000.
Okay, so I am looking at the OTR number one, the structural deficit, and I noticed in the description it says this was initiated by the county administrator and is intended to continue and potentially conclude the multi-year plan to fully close the library's structural deficit. So if I understand that correctly, Joe, you do not expect next year to need to put $150,000 in for the structural deficit.
That's correct. They would get normal rates of growth. We're within $35,000, I think,
mm-hmm.
of being in balance. Mm-hmm. So there's $35,000 coming out of their reserves. Otherwise, we're in balance.
So I think... well, you know, this sounds like a wonderful position. This would be—it's certainly a need. I think the argument—I think it's clear. If we can deal with the structural deficit this year, next year would be, in my mind, a better time to look for a new position. When we're not also putting in 150 towards the structural deficit, and I also would just say. You know, I know the pension relief of that we the first motion we made sort of gave some sense that we could do everything we want. What I would really like to do at the end of this is return a significant amount of that to the taxpayer. So I'm not looking to fund everything that's great because I know we have a lot of great initiatives. Susan, I love what you've done with the library, and people, I believe, would support it in the school district. Look, my own town, I didn't even ask you how much Dryden puts in because I don't think they do anything, but about a quarter or a third of the town is in the Ithaca School District. They should be asked mm-hmm. to support this the same way the Dryden District supports the Southworth Library.
Will, and then we'll go to a vote.
Well, Martha, I don't disagree that it would be sensible to ask the school district, but that's not what this is about. I wish my town of Ithaca was back giving what they had. They are certainly users. But we also have to recognize that our library has become essentially the community living room for people living in Groton and Dryden. They are where people go when it is too hot or too cold to be out. They are for many, many people, is the only access to computers. And I had the privilege of being a tour of the library. As everybody knows, the Finger Lakes library system has moved out, and there's some new space. Susan, am I right? This lab that you're talking about,
yes,
would be making sensible use of this space that now exists to serve literally the entire community. I think many, many people from not just in the city. And I'm glad we're doing something about the structural deficit. I hope we can come up with new sources of support from the schools. But darn it, in the meantime, we want to make this library really, really function well and serve our citizens. So I do hope we support this.
Anyone else? Mike and then Peter.
Well, I just have to kind of respond to Will's comment. Certainly there are people from Dryden and Groton and other places that come down to TCPL, but they also go into the rural libraries and use the computers there, so in their own communities.
Both are important.
Peter.
I will vote for this with a little bit of trepidation and hope that it's not the beginning of an increase that we're not going to be able to fund anymore. So.
With that, I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of adding the 88K to Target, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? All the rest. Oh, that fails. Anyone want to change their vote? It was 5-7.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. Could I please be reminded what is the process if one wants to bring back an amendment at some point? You can just bring it?
Yeah, you can. You can bring it back right up until the final bell is rung in terms of the budget. The day we vote on the budget, if someone wants to add something, that's clearly permissible.
Okay, so the same rules don't apply like at a regular legislature meeting if it has to be someone who's on the prevailing side or non-prevailing or whatever. Those rules don't apply.
Kath, what do you think? My answer is no, but
I don't think so because it's not a motion to reconsider.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Chalkbeck Bean Claiborne Assessment Department, that my understanding is that's out, right? It's removed?
I didn't remove it.
Well, Jay Franklin has asked that it be withdrawn. He thinks at this point we've kind of set things up pretty well with the state. We seem to have gotten their attention. We have some prospect of getting them to pay for the system. So
wonderful.
Can I ask that this just be put off until I have a chance to talk to Jay directly?
Since you don't believe the county administrator?
Well, no. It's not that I don't believe you. I just would like the opportunity. So rather than just withdraw it, to put it on the end and if
I'm
it's
fine with withdrawing
drop it
entirely.
At that point.
Whoa. Dooley.
I put it in here.
Do you know when the state might make a decision, Joe?
No, Jay, and I'm happy to share a memo from Jay with anybody who would like to see it directly from him. He's hopeful in the next couple of years, Dooley.
Oh, it's not.
And recall, this is $60,000 a year that we would have to spend on our own system.
So,
Carol?
Yeah. So I put it in here partly because I support Jay when he asks us. He doesn't ask us for a lot. But partly because I had an experience with my son this year who's approaching 40 and finally decided he needed to buy a property and discovered that in much of the country and with many of the banks that he was dealing with have gone to this mass appraisal system we still are appraising properties property by property, and it behooves us to stay up with the ways in which I talked to Jay at length.
Carol, excuse me. There is nothing on the floor. There is nothing on the floor.
I understand that, but I would just like the opportunity.
Apparently you don't. You know?
I would like the opportunity rather than to just withdraw it entirely.
Well, Carol, you can bring it back at any
time.
I'm withdrawing my
name.
Right. You can bring it back at any time. I'm sorry. There are a couple of amendments I'm trying to get to before I have to leave in like 3 minutes.
Or
put them off. I mean,
I would have someone move the resolution so we could vote it down. if that's your preference. But Leslin, next one, CCE.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Eliminate all funding under the OTR, $10,000.
So that is the amendment I'd like to move, is to eliminate that funding that was for training, I believe it is. And so I'd like to put that amendment on the floor.
Is there a second for that first resolution, the amendment?
Could
Mike, discussion.
So, Mr. Chair, I want to very quickly say that one of the things that I've been looking at within our two things. Within our budget and for our departments is what we have in there for training for departments, and not a lot. So I think it's in the edge. So I try to move that money from there to put it elsewhere so that we can have training monies for our departments. The other thing that I was waiting to get from, and I was hoping that Ken was here, I didn't see him, is the... thank you. Hi, Ken. Is we had asked for the amount of contracts that Property Extension has with us, the additional amount of monies aside from what we give them in their base budget, and I don't remember seeing that. So I'm interested in getting information to see the total amount of money that we support Property Extension with. So that's where I am.
Go ahead. Is that what that email is about that you sent me? But why don't you state what you sent me? It was $200,000, I think.
It was sent out with Kevin sent it out along with all the other ones, and it was 400 and something thousand in addition to the
about 400.
And then when I sent a follow up because Jim had actually sent that or made the request, and so I sent a follow up to Jim, basically saying that we went back and looked at what we do, what we add to that from our own, and it was well over $200,000 that we added to the county contracts, and then also about 2,000 hours of volunteer time that those contracts actually then marshaled another $2,000 worth of volunteer time, 2,000 hours of volunteer time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will look for that.
Thank you, Ken. Carol Martha.
I'll just remind people that Ken asked for $40,000 for this activity, and Joe put in his budget only 10 of that.
Martha Will.
This looks like a Goldilocks resolution, and you know, we want to do. Somebody wants to do all this over here, and somebody wants to do none over here. So I kind of feel like maybe the county administrator had the right kind of right in the middle. I would say, so Joe funded, as Carol said, at 10,000. I think that it appears that local, according to Ken's description, other local government and nonprofit organizations may participate in this some of these trainings as well. And I think if there's a real shortfall, they could ask for a small registration fee. I think 10,000 is fine, and kind of agree with Leslin's idea of making sure, you know, county staff have funding money, training money.
Carol, then Will, and then Julie.
Spoke already.
Wait, so I'm opposed to eliminating it. I would vote against this because I want to just leave it as it is.
Will?
Mart said much of it. Dave and I sit on the board. We hear the amazing things they do. One of the things that I've been so impressed was a few years back, they recognized that they needed expertise in applying for grants. And, you know, there was some discussion on the board, well, why don't we hire a grant writer? No, and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but they recognized that it was far more productive to actually bring in somebody from the outside to train the staff, have some training sessions on how to successfully do grants. And it has borne huge, huge results. And I know that that's just one example, and there are other aspects of that program. It is money very well spent. Dave, I don't know if you have anything to add, but
yeah, I agree. And I spoke to Ken earlier this evening, and one of the things that he wants to do is to refresh that grant writing thing, among others. And I think overall, I think the county's going to benefit, you know, with a lot more money than they're going to put into it in services. So I'm recommending that we go ahead and vote for it.
Julie?
Yes, well, I support the full amount that was requested by Ken Schlatter on the grounds that he knows what training he wants to do and how to do it. I would love to give more training to our county staff, but we do not have that kind of a detailed plan in place yet. So I don't think of us trading off county training to cooperative extension training. I think cooperative extension has shown that they know what to do with the money, and it will benefit not just cooperative extension, but beyond them. So I support and would, I guess I need to amend what's on the floor to what I have down there, if that's the time to do this.
I believe so, because Legend's resolution is to eliminate 10K, so you are moving.
Has it been amended once already?
No.
No.
Okay. So I will amend it to fully fund the OTR for staff training with one-time funds.
And what was your number?
What was requested, I believe, $40,000.
Which is...
Is there a second?
For some reason, I have $30,000.
Joe put in 10.
Joe put in 10.
So your number would be 30.
So it's 30,000 additional. Thank you.
So your number is 30, Dooley?
Yes.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Dave seconds. It's reversed. We went from minus 10,000 to plus 30,000. So is there any more comments? Anyone want to talk about that resolution? Dan?
Just we're voting to amend the amendment. We're not voting on the amendment.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All in favor of amending the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed?
Wait, I'm in favor.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Are you unopposed or?
Opposed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Dooley's amendment fails.
It was 5 to 9?
No, it was
5 to 7.
5 to 7. Right. I just keep hearing different numbers. I didn't.
Really? I don't know who's saying them.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not well. I have a bad cold, and I can't hear.
Neither am I.
Well.
And it's been that way for a long time. We're back to Legend. Okay. And Legend's resolution is to eliminate 10,000. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. I will go along with that. 2, opposed, and all the rest. So it's 2-10. Anyone want to change their vote?
No, Mr. Chair, and my colleagues, I do apologize that I have to go, and I know that I have other amendments that are there that can perhaps be taken up at another time. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
So it's actually nowhere yet. Joe has 10,000.
All right. Carol Chalk, staff training, cooperative extension. Do we do that?
Yes. No, we haven't done it yet.
Okay. You're adding 10,000, 10K to Joe's 10K.
So.
Is that
yes.
right?
My motion is to add 10K to Joe's thinking. Well, I'll give the rationale.
Is there a second?
It's a second.
Is there a second? Dave McKenna, second. Okay. Discussion. Go ahead, Carol.
So I put it in there as I thought about cooperative extension and its activities. I realize that there are literally hundreds of activities a year and programs a year that they deal with, if not thousands. And many of them are new or new approaches within those programs. Some of what we do is essentially the same from year to year. There are some changes, but a lot of what cooperative extension does is figure out the latest techniques, take the latest research and the latest techniques
and need to have their staff learn how to convey that information to our residents. For me, the sweet spot, I understood that Joe felt like he could only fund a portion of that 40, and I was not going for the whole shebang, but I thought that it would make sense to give Ken half of what he was asking for, and that a modest increase of $10,000 of one-time money would allow staff to, particularly right now when there's a lot of new things going on, be able to accommodate them.
Martha.
I want to point out, I believe the Human Services Coalition, well, I know they do a lot of training, and I am almost certain there's always one or more on grant writing, so this is not the only kind of option the community has available.
Anyone else?
Kind of thing.
I think we're ready to vote. It is adding $10,000. It's a $20,000 one-time. I'm sorry?
My motion is $10,000.
But it's a $20,000 total,
yeah.
Right? That's already in. All in favor of Carol's motion, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. All opposed to Carol's motion. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And it's four in favor, seven. Anyone want to change their vote? That fails.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to be picky, but my understanding of Robert's rules is that if you're going to ask if people want to have an opportunity to change their votes, you should do that before you announce what the vote is. So that's why it's difficult to do it on hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Mike, I'm really just talking to myself. all right, I will do that. Dooley, you had your 30K. Do we want to do that again, or did we just do that?
We did it. You want me to do it again?
No, no. Carol Chalk, Leslie McBean Outreach Initiative.
If I could ask that we put that one off, because this one, it looks like she's moved money from here to human rights. So this is one even though Carol's got a similar motion, if we could put that off.
Okay, Carol Chalk, $500, community events. Please move in second. Let's vote.
Leslie's didn't sound at all like the
No, she's not here.
Okay.
You're up.
Well, I'm asking Martha, are you asking me to put mine on?
No, she's not here.
Okay, I'll move $500.
Is there a second to $500?
Okay.
Mike seconds it. Big spender Mike. Here we go.
Okay. I'll just read that this was from County.
Tell me what this is for.
This is County Administration. It supports the cost of the county's community outreach initiative, which increases the awareness of county services and career opportunities. And I will just say that a $500 amount that Joe tried to put into his own budget but turned himself down is not even worth more discussion. Let's just vote on it.
Is there rollover money that could pay for this?
Well, there is rollover. I think that was just approved by the legislature Tuesday that would be available for this.
Okay. Everyone hear that?
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. So was it the same amount?
I think it's actually a bit more than this. When we put this together, when the budget was originally done, we weren't aware that we were going to have an ability to apply rollover.
So,
then we realized we had it, and you did approve some rollover money for this purpose at your last meeting.
Oh, so okay, is it already done? Is this moot?
Yeah, let's just pull it back, okay?
So is this moot now?
Yes.
Then I withdraw it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have to vote on that? No, we don't. Okay, Maury Burbank, Robertson, Kiefer, Stein. Additional funding, municipal youth services, $75,000. Someone want to move it? Glenn moves it. Is there a second? Peter Stein seconds. Discussion. Mike Lane.
is it 75,000 or nothing, or could it be funded at a lower level?
Who wants to answer that? We have the director of the Tompkins County Youth Bureau back there.
Call that in.
All right, so the $75,000, when the towns initially heard about the potential for the funding, they built their budgets with that $75,000 in mind. What we had done is looked at how we currently allocate the funding to each of the municipalities and had said, if this were to come through, this is what we would have to offer. During the same time, Cooperative Extension had looked at, they had done a salary study, I believe this is in your notes, and so as the major service provider, it became clear that there could be a deficit there. So what we've done is actually, with the $75,000, if we were to reduce that, there would be a deficit in some of the town budgets. They would have to cut back on some of their programming or their services that they offer.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Julie?
Did you say just some of the towns would have to do that, or all of them?
It depends on the towns and how much money they're contributing currently. So some of the towns overmatch the county funding and have what they would do is they would all reduce the total services, but they would restructure how they provide service. So they may not have employment programs, but they may be able to provide a few more youth development program opportunities if we were to reduce that funding.
Martha, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at page 36 in section 4. That's Joe's OTR. And it says, I'm in favor of this, but I'm trying to understand. This request would increase the county's contribution by $75,000, provided that the funds do not supplant payments currently made by participating municipalities. This increased contribution may stabilize the level and quality of services. So one of you want to respond to that? I don't know. How do we know whether this is going to supplant?
Yeah, and it's not meant to suggest that we are prohibiting a town from supplanting. So we're not putting strings on this. It says if they maintain their current level of funding and if the $75,000 comes into the program, this should allow an expansion of service, and that's the way it was conceived when we put this together. What Amy is saying is that with wage adjustments among the people that provide this service, we're going to need to increase funding to a certain level just to maintain things the way they are to pay wage growth.
Okay, I would just point out that that Joe put this in here. Even though he really hates children, it must really be an important need.
I have Dan and Carol and Peter. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Carol?
I didn't quite understand that question, that comment about Joe putting it in here, since
it's a joke.
Okay. So the question that I have, I'm not understanding. Is our $75,000 going to go to fund administration, sort of staff still sitting in an office, or will it go to programming for youth?
No.
So the $75,000 goes to the municipalities, and then they provide programming. They contract with various organizations to do that. The major program provider is Cooperative Extension, which is has changed their costs due to wage increases. So that funding is going to go into the municipalities to provide them with relief to look forward to how they're going to continue. So back in 2010, when all the municipalities received that large cut, they've backfilled that funding and continue to backfill that funding. Actually, some of them are discussing right now how they're going to increase again this year. So they've continued to support that system. And when we looked at the $75,000, we thought it was a way to help them continue with the programming that they offer.
When you say municipalities, is that all municipalities?
All municipalities in Tompkins County participate in the municipal youth service system.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Mike?
Do you have some kind of mobile PowerPoint you could send me on this?
Sure.
I'm sorry, Peter.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to vote on this thing. We've been talking about this. I've been talking about this for 2 or 3 years. That the county, that the municipalities have been starved. That the services that were being offered have suffered deeply. And I'll vote for this with both hands to put that money back in.
Let me ask, Amy. Essentially, it's for wages, right?
It could be. It's however the municipality chooses. So it depends on the municipality. All the municipalities do it differently. So essentially, a lot of this will go to that wage growth because the major program provider has increased, which is not a bad thing, but that's where this funding's going.
Anyone else? All in favor of the 75K, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Anyone else? And any opposed? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really say 11. Anyone want to change their vote? Anyone want to change their vote? there were 11 who voted in favor of it. Give me a couple more years of this, and I'll get it right. That's all I really want. Let me ask. I said at the beginning of the meeting, 7 o'clock. Are you willing to stay until 7:30, no later than 7:30? I will stop you mid-sentence.
Sure.
Okay, good. Because we can get quite a ways here, I believe. Chuck Burbank, Kiefer Stein, jail reentry position, OAR case manager. Someone want to move it? Will moves. Is there a second? Peter Stein. Discussion.
So actually, having just moved this, I would actually defer because I think Martha has something that's related that I could support and would prefer that be done first if Peter's willing to withdraw.
So you're all right. Martha, you're up.
Thanks very much, Will.
I'm sorry, Carol, you're after Martha.
Well, my name was on this as well.
Well, I was going to move to a minute.
Well, I just called on Martha.
Okay.
I want to move the next item on your chart, and then I would move the one after that as well. So the first motion is $200,000 to Target to be put into the contingent fund for the reentry program, and I'll explain if I get a second.
Is there a second? go ahead.
So on Tuesday night, we heard a presentation. Public safety heard it on Tuesday afternoon, and on Tuesday night, the full legislature heard the discussion report of the reentry subcommittee. A very important report that came out of our controversial move, decision to add 7 beds to the jail. All good work doesn't necessarily fit into the budget calendar, but you can see the 43,000 OAR OTR. Deb was thinking ahead, and she put that in there for reentry. She was co-chairing the reentry subcommittee, and thinking ahead, she put that in as a possible position to respond to the report of the committee. That was smart. We now have the report. However, we haven't had time for staff and community stakeholders and the legislature to really talk about the details. How many positions? Where would they be? You know, where would they reside? At the jail, at DSS, at OAR, at the Red Cross, wherever? What other kinds of supports would be needed? So my motion is intended to give us to put the money in there to assure ourselves and the community that we need to do something on this topic, that we believe it's the right thing and actually a fiscally smart thing to do as well. But we don't have all the details yet of the program. So this dollar amount, it's a big number, I understand. But I think it would allow us the flexibility to figure out exactly what we need to do. if it goes into contingent fund, as I understand correctly, Joe, if it isn't all spent in 2016, the delta goes back into the general fund. But making this right now, it's identified as target, so that means that going forward in 2017, we know there's an amount. We've made a commitment, so this is not just a one-time experiment. So it's a commitment giving us time to figure out how much we really need in that program. There's a question about would this be for the full duration of the year? Some things we might be able to implement quickly. Some things might take longer. I just think we don't really responsibly know enough to say, and this is kind of a safety way to do it, a safe way to do it.
Peter, and then Mike, and then Will, and then Jim, and Dooley.
So,
Carol.
I certainly support the idea for trying to do reentry programs for people that are coming from jail, but I find it very difficult to spend that amount of money on something where I haven't heard what the program is exactly. So unfortunately, I'll vote no on this.
Could I ask Susie or Deb to respond to that? And Pat Buchel's out of the country, so otherwise she would be involved in this too.
Not working.
Go sit at one of the chairs over there. There, is it on, Kevin? The green light will be on if it's on. Sit right there.
Okay.
Right next to Mike, or whatever.
Is this on now?
Yes.
Yeah. Of course.
We reported to public safety in the legislature just the reentry subcommittee's recommendations last week. This is a quick, it's a huge amount of money to request, and I understand your concerns about it, but it won't be spent. It's in the contingency, so it won't be spent until a full proposal rounded out and fully developed by CJATI and other county agencies that will have involvement in this whole reentry program are part of designing that program. So that money's really, as I see it, it's a placeholder. It's there so as the program unfolds during 2016, pieces of it can be implemented. If this money is not put into contingency, or, you know, if money is not set aside, then we'll be coming to the legislature requesting money piecemeal throughout 2016 to implement the program. So we would have loved to have the recommendations. We started meeting in March of this year. It would have been ideal if we could have gotten them to Joe in July in time to be included in the budget, but we met 13 times and it really ran into September. So That's the explanation from the reentry sub. I'm a little bit in a weird position here. I'm wearing two hats. The executive director of OAR that's going, yeah, give me $43,000, but also as co-chair of the reentry subcommittee, and knowing the hard work that the community put into this, I think we need a real comprehensive approach.
I had Mike, go ahead, and then Will, and then me, and then Carol. And then back to Martha.
Well, I'm sort of with Peter on the amount here, $200,000. It's bigger than I want to support, especially with nothing for sure exactly what we're doing. I understand that there's some possibility of working through social services to possibly have a position that could possibly be partially funded by the state. I would have no problem with putting something into contingency. But $200,000 is nearly 0.5% on the levy. And if we have to look at this piecemeal next year, I guess I'd rather do it that way than to just to fund a whole bunch of money in here that we may or may not be using. If you're going to hire people, it's probably not going to be till later in the year, say halfway through the year. So I would certainly like to I would like to move to amend this to 100,000.
Is there a second for that? Moving to amend to 100,000. Carol seconds. Discussion. Martha.
Well, the reentry committee did say that they very clearly they really believe two positions are needed to make this work. And I mean, I have an email with some numbers on it. You know, I didn't share it because Pat Buchel wasn't in the country. You know, but if we let's say if it was a two at the probation officer level, that's in the neighborhood of 75,000. Is that right, Joe? So there's 150 right there. There are additional ongoing costs as well as one-time kinds of expenses. I feel like, you know, 200,000, we don't have to spend it. I mean, the idea is it's there, it's built into the budget. And then when the plan comes back, and the plan is not going to be, okay, what can we do for 200,000? The plan is going to be, what's the right thing to do? And I will point out not just that CJATI and the departments and agencies are involved in the plan, but the legislature is involved in the plan. We will, you know, approve any and all of this funding at the end of the day. And it's an iterative process. If they come out with a plan that says 200 and we say, we don't really like what you're suggesting for 200, at that point we can say less. But I certainly think 100,000 is really not enough. We have enough information at this point that I think we could have people on board well before June. So if the idea is we'll do it for half a year, I think we're really selling ourselves short, and more importantly, the community and our inmates selling them short.
After Micah had Will.
So Martha said it was the right thing.
Got you, Peter. Go ahead.
It was the right thing to do, but it was also the fiscally correct thing to do. And we all know what the expenses of our jail are. This is our sincere attempt to begin to address the problem that we've been dealing with people getting out and getting right back in. This task force has really been trying to grapple with this, and I really, really think we need to give them the ability to come up with a detailed proposal. And I see Susie over there. Do you want to add anything to what Debbie said, or did she pretty much frame it? Okay, so we're good. Thank you.
This is in support of Mike's amendment. The 100,000 for me would have to have a few things involved with it. One, there'd be a plan in place. Two, there'd be commitment by all the people who are going to work on the plan and actually implement the plan, whether they be DSS people, probation, sheriff's department. Clear, we have to have someone doing that at that point. And what I'm willing to say with the 100K is you work on a plan, and I'm guessing the way things go here, it'll take 4 to 6 months to get the plan pulled together and then hire somebody. They're not going to be on staff people, I don't believe. And with 100,000, you can hire somebody for 6 months, one person or maybe even two if you split. You know, if you hire two people in July or August, you have enough money to pay them the rest of the year. And, you know, and then you know, but you know about the program before you commit any money to it. I don't see any reason to park $200,000 in the contingency account at all. And $100,000, I think, would facilitate, it would certainly send a message to the community and to the people who have worked on this that we're committed to it. Carol, and then Dooley, and then Peter.
Yeah, I seconded the amendment for purposes of discussion. I'm not sure yet how I feel about it. I do know that I put in the 43,000 for the reentry as target, commit to it through OAR, which I think does a good job specifically on the reentry kinds of issues, and that's a good place for it to sit. And that's, I didn't agree to withdraw my portion of that, so it's still there. I think 200,000, 225,000 essentially, when you add up the 200 plus the 25 that's going to come after that, is an awful lot of money to commit to any one program, especially to be asked by somebody who just finished telling us 10 minutes ago that if there's 500,000 put back into the budget, we need to save an awful lot of it to go back to the taxpayers for other things. And so to ask that the bulk of what we are going to do go to any one program when we've had have this whole list of needs, I can't justify for my taxpayers right now.
Carol, we're talking about Mike's.
I understand.
Okay, all right.
So here's what I'm grappling with is 200,000, 225,000 altogether is just way too much money to me. In another way as well, there are too many other things I'd like to be able to do with it that I think we need to do some of the rest of it. And we haven't even gotten to a second night. Last year we talked about living wage for contractors.
Okay, give us a chance to get there, okay?
Okay.
All right.
And then the other reason is that I think putting the entire amount into contingency at this point, given that the only stage of this we've gotten to is hearing the initial presentation of a report, it puts an awful lot of pressure on people to develop a program too quickly. I've got 200,000 in contingency. If we get it set up by January 1st, we've got the whole amount there. And
this is on 100
so
now.
For me, that 200 is too much, and I might be willing to compromise.
Okay, we're talking about his amendment.
I understand that.
Dooley, and then Peter, and then Martha.
Well, I have a couple of questions on my way to this amendment. One is for the OAR director. Were that position to be funded this year in OAR? Is that something that you're prepared to implement in 2016? Independent of the ATI task force further development of additional positions?
Yes, but we would be working very closely with all the other agencies, because I want to just kind of stress here that to make a reentry program successful, it's going to take buy-in from all the various agencies that provide services in this community. No one agency is going to be able to do it alone. But yes, OAR would implement what we see as an immediate need in reentry.
That's what I was interested in, because I think there is an immediate need. So that was one question. The other is on a related topic. I did not get it in to Kevin on time for a number of reasons. But I have been attending the Family Treatment Court Advisory Council meetings. And there I have heard about a position that used to exist in DSS, they started it, and then it got turned over to the Office of Court Administration, and then it disappeared when the OCA cuts were done, and this position hasn't been there for a long time. But it helps the judges know how to handle new people appearing before them on first arraignment. Not in emergency situations, just in regular situations. And that family services coordinator was extremely useful to the judges. That's at the beginning of this, before someone winds up in jail. You're talking about reentry. But in connection with that, from one of the judges, I've heard about something called a child exchange, which was a fully designed program maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but the funding for it disappeared, so it never got implemented. And that is a place where children who are the subject of family disputes, it's a safe place where one parent can transfer the child to the other parent to spend some time and back again. So those are related services at another part of the general public safety spectrum. And I wanted to be able to put in money for that also in contingency following Martha's lead. And that would have to be additional money. So for me to say, let's just do 100,000 instead of 200,000 would be really foolish for me, because I think it should be more than 200,000, but to cover a different need, but every bit as much an important need. So I'll be voting against the 100,000.
Thank you. Peter, and then back to Martha.
In the time I've been on the legislature, I've never seen this sequence happen, as near as I can tell, where we appointed money during the budget time that we didn't know exactly what we were going to do with it. And I don't really understand that. Suppose, not talking about this item, but suppose there's something new comes up in January that we think, excuse me, in June, that we think is really good. We want to get to work on it, but it hasn't been put into the budget for that year. Does that mean that we're stymied, that we have to wait for that particular project until the end of the year, so until we have a budget committee to have put aside money for that or not? I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I don't really understand the sequence of events here.
Joe.
Yeah, I can try to answer that. It would sit in a contingency account until you were presented with a plan that you approved. At that point, you would appropriate the money out of the contingency account and into the correct accounts to be able to pay for the program. There is an analogy that's fairly recent, and that's what we did with the living wage. So in the case of the living wage, we put aside, I think it was $100,000 in a contingency account, and said we need to see what the actual need is before we appropriate it. And that's what we did. We came to you and we had specific needs that we could identify. So it's very analogous to what's being talked about here.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Okay, but I don't see it as quite the same. But
go ahead. Yeah, we did the same thing with the defibrillators. What are they called? The
AEDs.
Right, the AEDs, automatic defibrillators. When we knew we wanted to do it, we'd made a guess at the dollar amount. I think it was $75,000 for that, and it took staff some time to figure out a plan of where and how many and blah, blah, blah. So it went into contingent fund. This is an unusual, I understand it's unusual, but it's a way of dealing with, the real world. So I would, Joe, remind us how much we expect we're going to spend on board outs this year.
I'm drawing a blank. I'd have to look it up.
Rick, do you remember?
We just passed something last week.
Yeah. Call it $250,000, maybe $300,000.
On board outs. This is what we can do to work on that. We're not helpless when it comes to the people who are in jail, especially when they come out. And we know, we really have a good idea of what can work. I think $100,000 is just, look, we just passed $95,000 for a nurse. And I don't think
there's a plan for that, Martha.
There's a plan. There's a plan. We have a 16-page report, and we would get an entire plan. No, we wouldn't vote to allocate a nickel of this until there is a plan. And that's actually one reason I would vote against the OIR position, because it's as a standalone, because that prejudges the process that's already been started and well down the road says we need this function, but give us some more. What I'm trying to do is give us some more time to figure out the really best way to accomplish the function.
I think we've heard enough. All in favor of the 100,000? What?
A point of information. I thought that the portion of Peter's question that was, what happens if a program comes in June, is proposed in June, and we haven't done this? Do we have a mechanism to fund it then? Didn't
get
answered.
Pull it out of the contingent fund. If there's money in the contingent fund, we pull it out of the contingent.
If we haven't taken this action today, and a program, not this program, any program, comes up in June, do we have a way to fund it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's
initially would be out of the contingency account. If there was not adequate money in contingency account, you could draw on fund balance on the county's reserves.
Thank you.
That helps. Thank you.
I thought everyone understood that. But all in favor of Mike's resolution, $100,000 to be committed to this program in contingency fund after a plan and blah, 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 all the things that would make it go, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed to Mike's $100,000? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. Anyone want to change their vote?
No.
It is 5 in favor of Mike's plan and 6 opposed to it. It fails. Martha?
I would move to amend my own resolution and make that $150,000.
Is there a second for that? Will? Any discussion about that? All in favor? Someone say something? All in favor of Martha's 150, you're still talking about in contingency account?
This is an amendment to at this point, right?
Right.
So after the amendment, there'd have to be.
Right. All in favor of Martha's amendment, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anyone want to change their vote? 4 in favor, 7 opposed.
So 200 is on the table?
I guess.
Oh, I thought this was what we just thought.
200 is on the table?
Right.
Any more discussion, questions, comments? All in favor of the $200,000 in contingency, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 7, I would have. 4 in favor. I'm sorry. Anyone want to change their vote? 4 in favor, 7 opposed. Will?
I wanted to make another motion after this.
Okay. A motion fails.
So I would like to reintroduce the $100,000 that Mike suggested. I would be willing to vote again and change my vote.
Will moves $100,000 in contingency. Is there a second for that? Mike seconds.
Can we do that at the same meeting?
We can.
That down?
We can.
Some of you vote against it.
Yeah.
The rules aren't the same as this is a committee meeting.
Yeah, we can, Peter.
Okay.
Motion second, 100K. It's essentially Mike's resolution amendment again. Any more comments about that? All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. It passes. Oh, I'm sorry. 7 in favor, 4 against. Anyone want to change their vote? The other way around. Anyone want to change their vote? It passes 7-4. Martha?
Next resolution? Amendment?
Yeah. This is going to be the last one.
Wait. Can I just withdraw? There was one before that, the Chalk, Burbank, Kieferstein, and the others withdrew theirs. The 43,200.
I would move that, Carol.
What?
If you're withdrawing it, I would move it just to get it voted on.
So. I'll take them in whatever. Why don't we take Martha's then? Because
Martha, this one later. What are you moving?
Move 25,000 one-time funds to go into the contingent fund for the same program, for things for a computer, for they're talking about a possible van, because there's a lot of need for transportation.
Is there, it's a motion. Is there a second at 25K for, sounds like equipment, Dan? Discussion on that. Anyone? And Dooley.
Yeah. I'm assuming that the 25,000 was to equip the $200,000 staff. So should you not reduce this amount?
No, I mean, a van is a van, whether you have one or two staff people. I mean, the computer is actually probably the least of it. There are things like training, specific things for clients. There are a number of things that are...
Mike, you had your hand up?
I'm just wondering, I mean, this is going to be put into a department who's probably going to have, I mean, a lot of this stuff. I guess I don't really see why we would need this. I mean, it's getting developed now without us spending the $25,000, and as for the equipment and furnishings and stuff, I'm pretty sure we have that stuff around.
Well, we don't know. We don't know where these staff people would be, or this staff person, or we don't know. That's the whole idea, is that we don't want to prejudge the work that's been done, but we want to give it time.
Anyone else? Comments? All in favor of Martha's amendment to add $25,000 to the reentry program, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? It fails 3-8. I think we're done. Unless someone else has something at this point, we will stop there. And and pick it up with Human Service Community Agencies, the rest of that page. And Kevin, you want to give us a little run through where we are now?
I just wondered, it looks like maybe we would pick back up with the Chalk Burbank Kiefer Stein OAR jail reentry case manager for 43-2. I believe that one was still out there.
Okay.
Yes, it was. Carol said she would withdraw it, and I said I won't.
So that staff doesn't have to come back, could we just deal with it?
Yeah. All right, go ahead, if you're ready. Dooley?
Yes. Does this have a number? I'm sorry.
38,
without any decimals. This was OAR's request. They're prepared to go forward with it and start doing some of this necessary work. It can easily morph into a more complete program when that's designed.
I
move it.
This is a 43K.
That's right.
Okay, is there a second? Peter, second discussion. Martha?
I would like to amend this to be target for an undesignated position, but for the same purpose, to be...
Is there a second for that?
Focused on the jail reentry program.
Is there a second for that?
Yes, that's fine.
Second.
That's friendly.
An undesignated position, $43,000 in OAR.
No, not... My intention was not necessarily an OAR.
Oh, well, then it's not friendly.
then not friendly. Anyone else second it?
I don't think it has to be specified as a case manager. That's
die for a lack of a second. Dooley, yours is on the floor, 43K to OAR. And was there a second for Dooley's? Peter, any discussion about that? Peter?
Yeah, the reason I'm voting for this and didn't vote for the others is that I have some experience with OAR and know that they do this kind of work well, and I think that they are prepared to do something of this magnitude, so that's why I'll vote for it.
Anyone else? Carol?
I have a question about whether this would be a portion of the 100,000 that we just designated, or whether that 100,000, you're envisioning that to be an addition.
I think the answer is
no. So the reason that I withdrew mine is because I was convinced that people are feeling the need for more planning before we go ahead. I wasn't ready to do it at the full amount. I had put in the 43 willing to proceed and just say it's target in that particular department. But if we're going to step back with 100,000 already, then I'd like to see the planning process proceed first.
Anyone else? Martha, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I'm going to vote against this. I hate to say that, but I believe in what I've said before, that we ought to plan the whole program out. And we shouldn't prejudge where one of two positions is going to go. So I'm sorry, Deb. I congratulate you on putting it in back in June. I think that was the right thing to do. But at this point, I think we need to respect the process and wait.
We have a motion and a second on adding 43 OAR. Any other comments or questions? All in favor of Dooley's amendment, please raise your hand. One. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? There's four in favor, seven opposed. It fails. Thank you very much. We are done.